in Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Jessica Jashek. Police have arrested a local pastor and his wife for allegedly inflicting and inciting violence on minors. Longueuil police began their investigation last February after two minors came forward regarding the couple's actions. 65-year-old Mario Manette and Carol Van Hoot allegedly encouraged their followers to abuse their children. Ottawa has become a battleground following former Attorney General Wilson Raybould's testimony alleging the government interfered with the SNC-Lavalin case.
For a period of approximately 4 months between September and December of 2018, I experienced a consistent and sustained effort by many people within the government to seek to politically interfere in the exercise of prosecutorial discretion in my role as the Attorney General of Canada.
Federal opposition leader Andrew Scheer is calling on the Prime Minister to resign.
Justin Trudeau simply cannot continue to govern this country now that Canadians know what he has done. And that is why I am calling on Mr. Trudeau to do the right thing and to resign.
All the while, Trudeau maintains that his office has not done anything illegal.
From the beginning, that I and my staff always acted appropriately and professionally. I therefore completely disagree with the former Attorney General's characterization of events.
Now, international and interstellar news.
And so there's a place you can stick your feet. Not too complicated.
Tuck my toes in here, and now my hands are stable, my body's stable, and I'm all set to operate Canadarm2.
That's astronaut Chris Hadfield explaining how pilot Canadarm2, the robotic arm on the International Space Station. Canada will build another arm, affectionately called Canada Arm 3, for NASA's new lunar station, Gateway. The lunar Gateway will be about the size of a football field and used as a laboratory for lunar and space research. Canada announced that they will be a part of the multi-billion dollar project this week. Hear the newscast and learn more about the news team. Visit cjlo.com/news.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Spank Me on CJLO 6090. I am your dearest host, Camille Perrin. Is this the first time that I say my last name? I think so. Anyways, here I am, full in flesh, well, behind a microphone and on your computer, I suppose, where you all where you are listening. Anyways, how was everyone? How was your weekend? How was your week? I know that for Concordians, it was like kind of midterm break. What did I do? I did nothing, honestly. I was chilling. I've been chilling. That was my goal this semester, was just to chill. And I've been good at it ever since. But I've been to Ottawa, visit the family, saw a couple friends. That was nice. It was a good refresher. Oh my God, almost forgot to say that. So last 2 weeks ago, for those who tuned in, I had talked about the fact that I was getting an IUD put in. I kind of said how I chickened out. I was supposed to get it in on the 14th of February on Valentine's Day, and I chickened out and ended up not doing it because I didn't quite understand the circumstances around putting an IUD inside of you. I didn't know you couldn't have sex for 3 days. I didn't know that there were a week where you had to have protective sex, which is fair, I mean, granted. And I didn't know that you were going to have, like, intensive cramps, and I also had, like, a quiz on that day that I was getting the IUD itself, so I decided to push it back to a week after, and I promised that I was going to come back with a kind of post-mortem opinion of my experience. So it went well. Didn't get that many cramps. Once they put it in, I got like this humongous cramp, which kind of made me scream just a little. It didn't cry though, but I kind of screamed just a little. And then afterwards, I kind of just went back home. Took the metro. Even took, like, I know that a lot of people go through that experience and end up, you know, not feeling okay afterwards and have to take like the day off. And I ended up taking the day off anyways. But I was fine. I could have ran a marathon, to be quite honest. Everything went pretty smoothly. I also took a lot of medication prior to the procedure, so I think that kind of helped. But one of the negatives effects, I've had my period ever since, and it's been like a week. And it started with some spotting, and then I got my period, and it's kind of taking a toll on my physique, I'm not gonna lie. On my mental, at least. I'm like drained. I feel like there's a gray cloud over my head. And oh my God, I've been trying to like just energize myself and be fine, but I'm very excited to get my period over because it's annoying. And I mean, thank God I'm not pregnant, but still. So anyways, side note. So that was my experience for anybody that cared about it. Everything went well. So, you know, if you're ever looking for a contraceptive method and you don't want to take the pill, then, you know, I recommend the IUD. But then again, don't take my word for it. You should probably go see your doctor and talk about the different alternatives. There's much more to it. But my experience was okay. So here you have it. So, oh my God, maybe I should explain for people who just tuned in for the first time to Spank Me. Spank Me, yeah, you probably already guessed it, but Spank Me is a sex show. We talk about sex in very explicit ways. Every week, I bring in a different guest and we chat about different aspects of sex. I had an ex-stripper coming. I had someone talk about BDSM. I had someone talk about a polyamorous relationship and so on. And so every week you'll be surprised by a different subject and a different guest, and it's always entertaining and it's always interesting. So, I mean, if you're hooked on my little synopsis, then you should probably stay tuned, because today we have a clown in the station, and she actually put on a show last summer 2018. It was a show called Is This How Clown Have Sex, and for the Fringe Festival, but she also did other stuff and other Fringe, and she's going to talk to us about it, and she's also going to make parallels with sex education and adults. And anyways, it's going to be a very fulfilling conversation we're going to have. And I mean, if you're as interested as I am, you should probably stay tuned, because I'm probably going to learn some new stuff about the creative process behind a clown and how to relate it to sex in an interesting way. So for the moment, we're going to take a break. Music break that was chosen by my lovely guests. So the song is called Pink by Janelle Monae. Ah, the lovely Janelle Monae. She's an icon. So listen to the song, enjoy it, have a good time, dance around, and tune in and stay tuned as we will continue the discussion right after the break.
The familiar. Maybe pink like the skin that's under. Baby pink, where is deepest inside? Crazy pink beyond forest and dice. Pink like the secrets you hide. Maybe pink like the lid of your eye. Baby pink is where all of it starts. Crazy pink like the holes of your heart. So here we are in the car, leaving traces of us down the boulevard. I wanna fall through the stars, getting lost in the dark is my favorite part. Let's count the ways we could make this last forever. Sunny, money, keep it funky, touch your top and let it down.
Midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. Hey, I'm Craig Bailey, your host for an hour of music from the dark side of the moon, an hour of Pink Floyd. It's Floydian Slip every Tuesday night at midnight, right here on 1690 AM CJLO. Learn more at FloydianSlip.com.
Productions Midef Fake presents the 13th edition of the Cité d'Or de la Musique du Monde. The one and only Cité d'Or Musical Honors invites you to discover 36 of the best world music groups throughout this unique showcase. Come and vote for your favorite artists and enjoy free concerts every Tuesday and Wednesdays at Club Balatu until April 18th. The Cité d'Or, the People's Choice Award that brings the world together. For more information, visit www.cityduff.com.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight on CJ.
Welcome back, everyone. So that was a lovely song by Janelle Monáe called Pink from the Dirty Computer album, which was a really boppy album, I must add. Django Jane, that was my fave song. So, okay, so today, my guest, let me present her, Fiona Ross. How are you?
Oh, hey, I'm pretty good.
Good, great. So, we're going to talk about that show you had last summer.
Yeah.
I was butchering it.
It's hard. It's called Is That How Clowns Have Sex?
Is That How Clowns...
And the full title is That How Clowns Have Sex? A One-Woman Queer Clown Sex Ed Show.
Yes, that's important to mention.
It took me like 3 weeks of like saying it every single day repeatedly to get it right every single time. Like it's such a mouthful. We've dropped the like tagline from the official title for the second show. It's much better.
Okay. Can you say the tagline?
Yeah, so the next show is called Is That How Clowns... Oh my God, I forgot the title of the show. Is That How Clowns Keep You Up All Night?
Okay.
The next one?
Cool.
Yeah,
keep
you up all night, not at night. There was a big debate between all night and at night around like, is it scary clown or sexy clown? Like, where's that
at
border?
At night or all night?
Or all night. So we fell on all night because we thought it was like, had more sexy overtones versus like, at night is more like, can't sleep, clown will eat me. So I agree with that.
All night sounds better.
Yeah.
All right. So you have it figured out. So talking about the previous show.
Yeah.
Okay. So what can you tell me? That's like the biggest question that I have. What was the creative process behind like putting it all, to, like Tell me where did it start? Like from the beginning, the birth of this project.
This project started, I saw a clown show now 3 years ago from my favorite clowns. They are the reason I am a clown. Their clowns are now dead, but they're very lovely people. And I've told them this many times. I say it in like every interview, being like, I started clowning because I saw my friends do clown and was totally hooked. And I was sitting there the whole time being like, how do I do this? I want to do this. Thank you. So of course I became a little obsessive around clown. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I want to do it. And I want to do a solo show as a clown, though I knew nothing about clown.
You knew you wanted to be solo? You didn't think about doing it with people?
Yeah, I knew I wanted it to be solo. I think I was just like in an artistic place where I didn't want to have to listen to anyone else's ideas at the time. And like, that's fine.
That's fine. Be selfish if you
have
course,
to. Of course, I also listen to other people, but it's like, it also gives me a ton of freedom to play on stage where no one else is relying on me to say the right line at the right time. I just can play with the audience. But so we were, my partner and I, who is like the stage manager for the first show and the director for the second show, and my business partner in the company, we were out for dinner and we were like, wait, what do you know a bunch about? Because that's like a great way to find material for a solo show. What do you know a ton about? Well, I know a lot about sex ed and sex, and like, let's, what if a clown was trying to teach people sex ed? Like, that's silly. Like, that's silly and very fun. So we started doing that. And like, in terms of the actual creative process, once we finally got into the rehearsal space, we actually built the show a lot out of people's discomforts and moments of not knowing. And those moments of like, huh, is that how that works? Which are moments we call huhs, of just like, huh, like what, how does that work? And so we would go into those moments that are actually quite personal moments, and everything in the show comes out of personal experiences most of the time. But it's then clownified to such a point that you would never guess how personal a show the shows both are. But we take those haunts and we turn them into these funny clown moments. So like, there's a moment in the first show where Beatrice is trying to like figure out how to masturbate, and
Beatrice, that's the name of
your clown. Beatrice is my clown. I talk about her in the third person. But Beatrice is trying to masturbate, and so she's like, you know, fiddling around and just kind of flailing everywhere, but she's like, she knows that she's supposed to be safe, so she's put on like full science goggles and she's put on like latex gloves, which theoretically for partner play is actually a really good idea because of micro cuts and stuff. So like, wearing latex gloves or polyurethane gloves if you're allergic to latex are like really helpful.
Really? But she's, okay, that's something.
Yeah, it's actually really, it's a really awesome thing. Again, use lube because it's helpful. But it's the same idea around dental dams and such, that like, having a barrier there is really helpful in terms of STI contraction and transfer.
Wow.
So wearing gloves, because you like, if you are like me and pick at your nails all the time, you have little cuts around there. And then if you're like fingering a vulva or an anus or something, or not a vulva, like a vagina, getting my words mixed up. Great sex education over here.
Sexpert over here.
Sexpert. But yeah, so like, she's wearing gloves in order to masturbate, which makes no sense. And she's just flailing and she's like, oh, this, oh, okay, oh, new fold. Okay. Oh, what's, oh, oh, essentially is what happens, because she speaks a lot in sounds. And then she turns around and it's just like, oh, experiment number three, what meant, experiment number three went much better than previous attempts. And she's just having this moment of like, oh, like masturbation.
Kind of discovering her body, discovering her body in different ways,
how it functions, and like also how a lot of times people with like vulvas and vaginas aren't taught how to masturbate. So like, how else is she going to learn other than like flailing around and pretending it's a science experiment?
Yeah,
with her safety goggles.
Crazy. So are these all your ideas, or did you have like kind of like a collective kind of process with people pitching ideas as well? Like, are these all your experience?
They're not all necessarily my experience. They are like experiences around conversations that I've had with friends and conversations I've had, like, especially in the second show, there's a lot of stuff that's conversations with friends and like building bits. Like, I went for brunch with a friend recently and we had this extended conversation about like one of her sexual experiences, and I messaged her that night being like, I'm so sorry, but I just built an entire clown bit about this. Can I send it to you later for your approval? She thankfully said yes, and we're good.
Great.
But I was like, I built this entire bit. And so, but really going into the personal in order to make it a general show and like a really appealing to like a wide audience show through talking about very personal small experiences. So like in Edmonton when we did this show, we had all of these like older straight men coming up to us on the street afterwards, because when you're a fringe artist and you're on tour, part of the job is doing your show, but the other larger part of the show of the job is like being on the street for, you know, 8 hours a day flyering people and just giving people pieces of paper with your face on it, being like, hey, come to my show later. Hey, come to my show. Hey, come to my show. So while you're out doing that, there's like these like older men would come up to us and be like, I really appreciated your show.
Really?
It was excellent. I learned a lot, which was amazing as an experience, because it was like, we're so not building this show for you, but I'm so happy that you came and that you learned things. Like, that's great.
So who initially were you building that show for?
The show is built, like all of the shows and everything that Beatrice does is really built around queers and having queers see themselves on stage. Okay. So we do some like queer stuff 101 for straighter members of the audience, because it's important and like I'm willing to put that labor in to like teach straighter folks about our experience in that situation. But really at the end of the day, it's about queer folks being able to see themselves on stage and see themselves represented in sexual education, because so much of sex ed in high schools either doesn't talk about queers existing at all or just kind of talks of like queer people exist, but doesn't actually give any kind of sex ed information in terms of queer sex and what that should look like. So I think it's a really important, like, that's who the show is for in its heart.
So what kind of feedback did you get from the shows in general?
Well, a lot of straight men saying hey. And then also, like, the best moment, I think, of the entire summer that I come back to all the time, and I don't know if we'll ever be able to recreate, is this, like, I would guess 14, 15-year-old, like, teenager came to the show. And though we say the show is okay for younger-ish audiences because we don't want to block anyone from sex ed, really the show is built for 18+. But they came with their adults, and I was like, okay, cool, like, we're doing it. There's no going back. You've walked in now. So we did the show, and it all went really well, and, like, they... Like, every now and then when I would see their face, they seemed to be having a good time. But then later that night, I received a message on our public Instagram, because we do, like, sex education work also through Instagram. I received a message that was like, hi, are you that clown that I met, like, that I saw the show of today? And I was like, yeah, that's me. And, like, okay, so can I have some questions. Can I ask you them?
Wow.
And they sent us, like, their personal questions around, like, around anxieties around having sex and stuff and just, like, being stressed.
It's amazing.
And it was just the most amazing thing. And I, like, legit just cried, being like, I love this.
They found this kind, like, of comfort.
I love this kid.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I'm so happy that they could find us and reach out. And
probably
that,
they couldn't find one before, and they kind of had this... light bulb.
They had this light bulb, and they had this moment. And like, if their parents or like their adults, I don't know what their relationship to the adults were, but if their adults are bringing them to the show, like, I'm really hoping that they have this, like, supportive family as well. But they just reached out with their questions, and it was just, it was wonderful. It was like, this is exactly who I want this show to be for. This is exactly. What is supposed to be happening. So it was really great, and we did a ton of, like, it was amazing and a lot of positive feedback overall. Like, the best show we did was, like, there was, there's this amazing 11:30 at night where half the audience was drunk show. Like, that one was really, really good. But there was this other show where, like, it worked out that we had, like, this awesome just, like, core group of, like, three queers and then my brother and his wife. And, like, and it worked out that, like, that one didn't show up. Like, lots of people have shown up to our shows and really loved it, but that show happened to be quite a small audience. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, my mom's best friend and her husband, my brother and his wife, and then these three queers. And it was the best show we ever did, because there was, like, they were just so into it. And it was just, like, this is it. This is so who this is for. And then, like, my brother, who is, like, the straightest person I've ever met, and I love him dearly, is sitting there being like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I got this. And it's, it was just amazing.
That's nice. So what did your, so clearly your parents were there, your family were supportive of your work from the beginning, like ever since you proposed the idea for the first time, they were on, like, they were on it with you, they hopped on the train, like,
mostly.
Can you go into more depth?
There's the brief moment where I was graduating from teacher's college. My parents were very happy that I, like, had chosen a normal career, because I was so like, I'm gonna be in the arts, I'm gonna be in theater, I'm gonna be a theater tech, like, that's it. And then I was like, oh, actually, I'm gonna go be a teacher, and like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm so happy that I came mm-hmm. to that realization. And then of course I called my parents being like, so I'm gonna spend the summer after I graduate going on tour as a clown teaching sex ed. And they were like, huh, okay. But both my parents were artists once upon a time, and my brother works in the arts as well. And like, it's just, that's part of our family and part of our life. So once they got past the initial shock of like, is our daughter throwing away this stable life in order to go on tour as a clown? They were so into it, and they were so supportive. And like, we talk about the show constantly. It means we have these like bigger conversations around sexuality and sex and stuff. And they're just like so supportive throughout it, and have taken such good care of us, and like came to pick us up in Edmonton to drive us to Vancouver because they could. And they were like, sure, we'll just come get you.
Okay.
And then brought everyone they know to the show in Vancouver. Like, they're just, I just love my parents a lot. They're like excellent.
Yeah. Biggest fan.
Biggest fan. Like, and I'm their biggest fan. So like, it's great. Yeah.
And so you had, so the show was interactive with the public as well.
Oh yeah.
From what I understand. Okay. So, Did you get any like interesting questions, or were they pretty basic?
Oh, we get so many questions. So I have this massive bag of like 500 questions that I am very slowly working my way through on Instagram at Maximalist Productions.
Oh, so
Maximalist,
you keep
with
them.
An E. Oh yeah, we have them all. Like, they're sitting on my desk.
Okay.
And we're slowly working through them. And they're all excellent questions. There's a lot of joke questions, there's a lot of weird questions of like, do you have sex as a clown? And I'm like, no. Talk about sex as a clown. Obviously. What? And like, you know, if you're a clown fetishist out there, great, awesome. You do you. But like, being, having it put on you is a bit of a weird situation, especially when you're in a character who like loves everybody and is having a great time. But yeah, we have a ton of questions, and I love them. I love the questions. And like, there's one that I got that was in Montreal, and I didn't have time to answer questions at the end of the show that day. Like, we answer questions at the end of the show as well. Like, I answer them as Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have time to answer them that day, but I got one that was just like, how do you masturbate? I've never done it, and I'm really anxious about the process. And it was just these wonderful moments of like people being very vulnerable because they're given that moment of anonymity. And of course, people given anonymity are either going to be dicks or super vulnerable. Like, there's, it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But there are these beautiful moments of people being able to be open and vulnerable, and like a ton of questions about squirting and a ton of questions about anal stuff, and like all of these things that people hear about or they see in porn or they think about and they, or they want to do, but standard sex ed doesn't tell them about. And so having that opportunity as grownups to like ask these questions is really important. And really excellent. And it was really wonderful to see exactly what is missing and what people don't get educated in.
Did you know from, well, I mean, like, from whom those questions were from? Like, mostly adults, or did, like,
they're all from people who have come to the show, so typically from adults. Like, again, there's like a few younger folks who came to the show, but mostly.
That's interesting to see that adults were like willing to ask those questions. Well, probably because it was anonymous. They were just
like, 100% because it's anonymous. Yeah. Also, like, when I show up as a clown, I'm like, okay, students, it's time. You're going to teach. I'm going to get you to answer questions now, or ask questions now. I'll answer them. You ask them. Da-da-da-da-da. And, like, fill them out. And, like, they have a piece of paper, and then I tell them not to talk with their friends about their questions. But, of course, people do anyway.
Yeah.
And then they all get to put them into a giant vulva puppet named Vinny Ridge because I like puns. I didn't name Vinny. Someone else did. I can't remember who at this moment. But they're like, I was like, I need a gender neutral name for this vulva puppet because Vinny uses they pronouns. And also just like having gender neutral conversation around genitalia. And so someone was like, how about Vinny Ridge? And I was like, that's brilliant. That is. Yeah, that's excellent. And it stuck all summer long. And still their name is Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And What kind of reaction, because you can see the public at some times, right? Yep. What kind of reaction, could you see that they were kind of like intrigued in what you were saying, or?
It's a lot of laughter. Like, okay. It's a comedy.
Like comfortable laughter, or like?
Sometimes comfortable, sometimes, so they're like, because I read clown theory books, there are four types of laughter in the world. So there's like recognition laughter, like discomfort laughter, and then two others that I can't remember right now. So there's some moments where it would be like, oh, God, that's like, what situation are you going to get yourself into? Like, because Beatrice gets herself into situations. So there's moments of like, this is hilarious because what is happening? And there was also a lot of moments where people would see themselves in the show and they would see themselves and they would like laugh because it's such a situation that people get themselves into of like there's a whole extended period around like, how do you deal with a condom, and Beatrice mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to deal with a condom and it's like that discomfort and awkwardness of like what is happening and how do you do this, and like it's a bit that would happen and people would be laughing. Like the best quote we got in a review this summer was that you laugh so hard that you don't even realize that you're learning. And like that's our goal at the end of the day, is that people are going to have a good time and they're laughing and they're coming in to see a show, but they end up leaving and learning things. Like we very specifically don't have a chunk about consent, but everything is woven into consent. So like no matter what is happening, like the whole audience has to agree that we'll move on to the next bit. Anytime I interact with an audience member, I like ask their permission for consent, or I intentionally mess it up that I like touch their hand and then I go, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to ask, is it okay that if I touch your hand?
Yeah.
So that we're modeling that behavior. And the best one is I was out flyering and someone came up and they like touched my arm and we're like, oh, I'm sorry, I touched your arm without asking. I'm trying to work on it.
Wow.
And it's that those moments of like laughter and education and how people's behavior actually changes around like simple things such as modeling, like, oh, I'm sorry, I touched your arm, is that okay? Like, are you okay?
Yeah That's cool. Okay. And so you did a few different Fringe. Mm-hmm. Did you find that one Fringe people were reacting better to the show than others, depending on the city or the culture in the city?
It really, every festival was different. Because Montreal was a lot of family, it was a lot of friends. Toronto, same thing, that it was a lot of friends. Because I've been living in Toronto for the last little while. And like every festival itself is different. Like the atmosphere of every festival is different. So like Edmonton Fringe is the biggest fringe in the country and third biggest in the world. Also, for people who don't know, the Fringe Festival is a movement of theater artists where everything is done by lottery and it's non-censored. And it's non-censored. All the money goes back to the artists. And there's a third rule to be part of CAF, and I can't remember it. And I'm sure Fringe people listening right now are like, Fiona, come on, get it together. unjuried. Uncensored, unjuried, and all the money goes back to the artists. So it's really a great space to bring festivals to. Essentially, you just say, hey, I want to do the festival. Your name gets put in a hat. They pull your name out. You get a spot or you don't get a spot. And 6 months later, you show up with a show. And that's what happens. But Edmonton is the biggest one at about 200 and something shows versus Montreal Fringe is around 100. And it is a phenomenon. Like you are on the street and people are like, please give me your handbill. I want to know about your show. Please tell me about your show. Wow. How do I come? How do I see tickets? So Edmonton was this like amazing world of getting like in Toronto and Vancouver, we were in a BYOV. So both of those were like 30 seat theaters, mm-hmm. like because we were in sex shops, which was awesome and
for
really cool.
Wait, sorry, for the show?
For the show in Toronto and in Vancouver, we were in Toronto, we were in Kink Boutique, which is a lovely, like independently run kink focused sex shop. And in Vancouver, we were in Bring Your Open Closet, not Bring Your Own Closet. I always say Bring Your Own Closet. Your Open Closet, which is a lingerie store for all genders owned by the same people who own Women's Wear, which is like the long-standing feminist-run sex shop in Vancouver. So they took us into their store and like let us do this show.
Were you the one that came to them?
Yeah, I just like cold called them. Okay. And was like, hi, I'd like to do a clown sex ed show in your store for 2 weeks. And they said yes. I don't know how that happened, but they did. And they're all wonderful people. So they took us in. But in Edmonton, it meant that we had like we had like 80 people in the theater every night, 80 to 90 people in the theater every single night. Like, and it was awesome because it's like people were so into it and so focused mm-hmm. because you're in a theater setting and it's also set up as a classroom. Like Beatrice is a teacher and she's teaching you, so she could like chastise you as students and get you to focus back on her. Mm-hmm. So it meant that we had like a really good time being able to like play with people more. And at that point, I was so comfortable in the show. Like I could do it in my sleep. So it was really awesome to just like play and have a good time. And like going into a city that's like relatively conservative or like perceived as relatively conservative and showing up being like, hi, I'm a queer clown and I'm going to teach you sex ed. Yeah. And people just eating it up yeah. was amazing.
Maybe that the man was there. There's just nobody. Like, finally, somebody was responding to that demand and giving mm-hmm. them what they needed.
Yeah,
and show like, about sex. Which
I am sure there are awesome queer artists in Edmonton yeah. doing amazing, oh, yeah. cool things, but it was just like, it was really, really great to show up and be like, oh, you love me. Oh, this is really nice.
This is nice, huh?
Okay, cool. Like, great.
Where yeah. does that name come from, Beatrice?
Well, she's Miss Beatrice Haven, shortened to Miss B. Haven.
Okay.
But I just call her Beatrice. It took months to name her of like thinking about me, like, what is my clown's name? What am I thinking? Like, what is it? And then one morning I was like half awake, lying in bed and just like casually thinking, I was like, it's Miss Behaven. And it's Beatrice because then it can be Beatrice for when we're in Montreal. That's and it's good. A bilingual yeah. audience. Though the show is in English because I am a dirty Anglo. That's fine. But like she's Beatrice for when that's necessary. Yeah. She's just Miss Behaven and she is great.
Okay. Yeah. And the premiere of the show was in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is where you concocted the show and put it together.
Mm-hmm.
How was the premiere?
It was awesome.
Okay.
It was, the very, very first show, I was, you know, entirely incredibly nervous because it's the most vulnerable thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Being one, it's a show about sex. Two, I'm a clown. And three, it's a one woman show. So if it goes badly, it's all on me. I was incredibly nervous. But it also worked out that it was like an 11 o'clock show.
PM?
11 p.m. Okay. show. In Mainline, which is like my home theater, 3997 Saint-Laurent, just in case anyone wants to go there. They're awesome. They're great. They had a Nuit Blanche party last night. if you ever need to rent a theater, excellent rates, do it.
Free promo.
Just casual promo. And they're the home of the Fringe, but they're also my home theater. So I was like in a space that's really comfortable. And it turned out that because there's a party at 1 a.m. every night of the Fringe in Montreal, so artists all need a place to hang out. So they all showed up to my show at 11 o'clock. So it was, one, incredibly intimidating because like all of these artists that I totally admire were sitting there yeah. being like, hello, I'm going to watch your show. Mm-hmm. But it was also super supportive because I know that they've all done this and they've all been there and they've all done that moment of vulnerability. So it was like, cool, great. Like, let's rock this. You're going to hang out and support me. And they loved it and they were really into it and there was laughter. And of course, I'm sure I messed up like 8,000 times in the process of the first show. But it went really well overall.
And who knows too? It's your show, so.
Who knows? Yeah. It's like, it's a solo show. We're good. Yeah. So it was a really, really wonderful experience and I cannot wait to bring the second show and start
Speaking of the second show, so what did the beginning, did you know you were going to do a second show? Or did you do so well that you were like, we're going to do a second show?
I knew that there was a third show.
Okay.
That's very common. Yeah. So I knew that there was a third show. So there's a third show in the series called Is That How Clowns Make Babies? And I knew that there was this third show around like queer family creation. But I didn't know what the second show was going to look like. But we've been working on it and it's so fun and so exciting. And it's essentially because there's only so much you can cover in a 45 minute to an hour show. This show is like bigger and better and covering all the things that we didn't quite get to in the first one.
Can you give us examples?
So there's a whole bit about like period shame. And how people interact with their periods, which exists. And there's a bit about like where Beatrice is like live reporting from inside like being a sperm and like traveling through the sperm viaduct and getting like blocked by different forms of contraception. There's a whole bit about anal involving my new favorite character, Nanolingus, who is a horse.
Did you know you wanted to include that? Or is it because you got so many questions regarding anus that you were like, this is a subject that I need to attack and to talk about in the next show?
Okay. Yeah. In the first show, like, there's some butt stuff in the first show. And, like, Beatrice talks about butts a lot, just casually. Kind of like Tina Belcher talks about butts a lot. She's just like, butts, quite often. But there are so many questions about anal that we were like, I think we need to build a specific bit about this.
Yeah.
So a lot of this show has been like, what are we missing? What do we want to talk about? Let's play around with this idea. Let's play with this idea. And it's been really, really fun. Yeah, so like a lot of the stuff comes out of like, huh, this is something that we've heard a lot from people, or this is something that we've noticed, or like, because we've been working on this show, a lot of people come to talk to me about their sex lives now. So it means that I know a lot more about my friends' sex lives, and I'm like, oh, this is a trend that I'm noticing. So building stuff around that has been really, really fun and cool. And I cannot wait to do it for people. I have to start making Beatrice's new costume like this week.
How do you recreate, like, what was your design? What was your, how do you explain masturbation as a clown?
As a clown? Well, that is very physical. Okay, it's very physical. Yeah. It is, there's like, it's one of the things I love, my favorite pull quote that I found that I was not allowed to use on the posters because I was informed it would not sell the show properly, is that someone called Beatrice sexless. And I thought,
sorry, what?
She's sexless. She's a sexless, childlike clown, okay, is the official pull quote. And I just thought it was so accurate and so perfect. So it's a lot of her just like playing around with ideas, and it's a lot of physicality. A lot, like, we try to avoid words as much as possible. Like, she does talk and she's pretty chatty and like interacts with people, but we try to avoid words as much as possible. It's like, how do we show that physically instead? So. It is hard to describe for radio, but for the example, for the masturbation bit, she's like turned around so no one can like, no one's like looking at my junk, but, and like fully clothed in like a full suit.
Yeah.
But her hands are like really exaggeratedly extended, so, and like moving towards her crotch region, and then she just flails. Like, she just flails, and like there's always kind of a space between, you know, my hands and my body in any way. And, but, like, there are moments where she's pretty, like, explicitly just, like, looking at her junk, or she, like, gives her junk a high five. She's like, you did it! I'm so proud of you! So, like, there's a lot of mimed sex in the show, but it's still very, in my head, it's very PG. I'm sure other people don't think it's as PG as I do, but it's, like, it's kind of PG mimed sex by a clown. Yeah.
And, regarding your clown, like, prior to the show, how did you, was it all you exploring different, like, different, you know, angles or of your clown? Or, like, did you get any help? Did you have a mentor to explore your clown? Like, how did you know you wanted to be Beatrice? How did you know you wanted to talk about certain things a certain way? Like,
yeah.
What was that? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so we had an excellent director for the first show. So I have taken some clown classes, but like nowhere near the amount of clown training that a lot of clowns might get. Because I was like, I know exactly what I want to create. Like, I had the idea for the show, or we had the idea for the show, because it was Sarah's idea, not mine. We had the idea for the show long before I actually took any clown classes. So I went and took some clown classes, but because I knew that I didn't have as much knowledge as I wanted to and as much practical training, we hired a director who is very specifically a clown and a clown director. And she, like, the first half of the rehearsal process was just, how does Beatrice react to this? How does Beatrice react to this? How does she move? How does she walk? I had very specific shoes that are my, like, clown teacher shoes. So, like, always wearing those to figure out how she moves as a clown and how she moves in the space, in order to, like, know the character. So for the second show, we haven't had to do all that work as much because it's just, it's Beatrice. Like, I know Beatrice, we're like good friends. Yeah. We hang out. You know, in the summer we'll arrive and I will start shaving my legs again because Beatrice requires me to shave my legs because, like, she's a lady who shaves her legs for I could not tell you what reason, but she is just a lady who shaves her legs. And I know this. And I'm like, okay, we got to do it. And people are like, why don't you just make your clown not shave her legs? I was like, because she does.
Can I explain it? It's like a totally different person. It's not you.
Yeah, she's a different person. I'm not allowed to cut all my hair off because she has long hair. Like, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So, what were we talking about? We were talking about creating Beatrice. So, yeah, there's a lot of playing around. And just, like, there was a period of time where Beatrice was afraid. Like, we were exploring some stuff around, like, is Beatrice afraid of condoms? So we would be like, play by, like, you're rummaging through your bedside table and you come across a condom, what happens? And she would just, like, scream and drop them for a while. And, like, she doesn't do that anymore. It didn't make it into the show. But it was, like, how does she react to this? What does she love? How does she react to mirrors? Is she totally in love with herself? Because she's a bit of a narcissist, but, like, lovably. Yeah, so it's been very interesting getting to know this character. But also, clown is so much around who, like, letting your inner person out. Mm-hmm. So Beatrice is very much like an inner part of me as well that has come out and hangs out with people.
Oh my God, wow. Yeah. All right, so this feels like a good time to take a break, a short music break. So we're going to be playing another song from Janelle Monáe's lovely album, Dirty Computer. So these songs, you said to me that you use them for your show, right?
They were part of the pre-show music because I chose it myself, and it was entirely just shows about, like, sex and or vaginas.
Yeah,
Of course. And I love this song specifically because it is, like, the bisexual anthem that we didn't know we deserved. And a lot of Beatrice's life is around, and my life is around navigating the world as, like, it's a queer show, but I'm bisexual. So, like, how do we, like, sex with everyone? Yeah. How do you rectify it? Is it a straight show if I mostly talk about sex with penises, and, like, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. So I really love the song because it's all about bisexuals.
And you know what? You're not the first person to propose this song on the show. And I think the other person was also doing a show about sex or maybe. And I think, you know what? I have to track it down because it's been a while. But, like, no, good song. Good
it's
choice.
Excellent song.
Excellent song. All right. So here's Make Me Feel by Janelle Monáe. Please tune back. I always say that, but that doesn't make any sense. Please stay tuned and come back to us after the break as we will wrap things up. We'll talk about your next show, when it's playing, where can we follow you, any advice. So stay tuned. A lot to promise, and enjoy the song for now. Yeah.
Baby, don't make me spell it out for ya. All of the feelings that I got for ya can't be explained, but I can try for ya. Yeah, baby, don't make me spell it out for ya. You keep on asking me the same questions. Why? And second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression that you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way.
So good, so good, so fucking real. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
You know I love you, so please don't stop it.
You got me right here in your jean pocket right now, laying your body on the shag carpet. Ooh. You know I love you, so please don't stop it. It's like I'm just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
So good, so good, so fucking real.
So good, so good, so good.
That's just the way.
Tired of being talked down to by your media? Treated like an imbecile or worse, an American consumer? Are you looking to add some intrigue and excitement to your Monday mornings? Then tune in to New Media and Politics 2.0 from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, Carl Knox. I have 2 hours to debunk corporate lies and set the world right. Also, jazz.
Color your home with new art. The Vav Gallery is hosting an art auction fundraiser on Friday, March 8 from 6 to 9 p.m. Join us for a night of free food, drinks, booze, and music, and purchase artworks to support the Vav Gallery. There's something for everyone in every price range. For more details, find Vav Gallery on Facebook and Instagram.
Hello, hello, welcome back everyone. That was a lovely song, Make Me Feel. I was going to sing it. It's just the way you make me feel. Make Me Feel by Janelle Monáe from her Dirty Computer album. I wonder why she called it Dirty Computer.
It's all this stuff about androids and like if you're a dirty computer if you don't fit into the mainstream. I have gone into many a deep hole of watching interviews.
Okay. All right. There's a story to it. Probably I should look it up as well because sounds interesting. So, okay. So you have a show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The sequel to the...
The prequel.
Yeah, okay.
It's called Is That How Clowns Keep You Up All Night? And it will be running in Montreal between June 6th and 17th, 7th and 17th-ish.
And that's during Fringe?
For the Montreal Fringe Festival.
Okay, I just had a question because Fringe, I thought it was, you kind of had to get picked.
You do. So I got picked.
Oh, you already know that you got picked.
We got picked, yeah. So like you get picked in November. Like it's a whole process early up. Like... you know most of the festivals by the new year, at least.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we got chosen for Montreal Fringe. It's cool. Excellent, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, and if you hadn't gotten picked, would you have still put on the show?
Very probably, because okay. If you don't get into the main lottery, you can do a bring-your-own-venue situation. It's a whole thing.
Yeah,
So
we still give you that opportunity, that platform to show your work.
Yeah, and I love the Montreal Fringe. It is my home festival. Yeah. I love it deeply. So I'm very excited to be doing that.
And you're going to go on tour as well?
Yeah, and then we're going on tour. We're going to Winnipeg with the first show because they didn't get it the first time. And then we're going to Edmonton. It's like just confirmed like a day ago that we got a bring-your-own-venue in Edmonton.
Okay, wow.
I'm so excited we're doing the show in a church. It's going to be wild.
In a church?
Yeah.
My God.
I'm so into it.
And so the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And, you know, you're going to hang out.
So you're putting on the first and the second show.
Yeah, this summer. We're doing both.
How are you going to juggle both?
They're separate weeks.
Okay.
So it's okay. I just have to remember the lines probably, but it'll be fine.
I mean, it's your show. You could probably bring it up.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. We'll just find it.
Yeah. All right. So do you have, let's finish this on a lovely note and well-spirited note. Do you have any advice for, I mean, maybe like people who are kind of in the same boat as you who want to put on a show about sex, or maybe a clown that wants to put on a show. Do you have any advice for them, like as a businesswoman?
I am a businesswoman.
Yeah, you are.
Something that I always need to remind myself is to focus on the art side of it over the business side of it, because occasionally I get lost in the, like, I come from a tech background. I come from a costumes background. So remembering that, one, you don't need to do it all, and you can outsource that labor so you can focus on what's the important thing to you, is something that I think is really helpful. And also just do it. Like, figure it out. It might not always be everybody's cup of tea, but, like, making the art that's important to you is something that's really awesome and great. And I fully support it. And, like, I've had many people over the years, like, in the process of making the show be like, you're making what? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. And then we get to the show.
Proud
and
of your stuff.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And it's been really great. And as always, my favorite sex ed advice as well, just because it's important, is always to masturbate and communicate. So learn about yourself and communicate to partners what you need and what you know.
It's hard to communicate to someone else what you like if you don't know what you like, right?
It's really hard.
It's hard.
It's like, it's almost impossible. And no one else is just going to figure it out for you. So, no. Like, spend some time with yourself.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Sometimes it's a toy. Sometimes it's your fingers. If you're old school, if you're new school,
yeah,
go ahead, explore it.
Or you're like
somewhere
in the middle
school. There's so many things out there. So many sources and technologies for you now.
Yeah.
So, all right. And, okay, where can we find you? Where can we follow you and keep track of the process?
So theoretically, you can find us on Facebook, but I'm terrible at Facebook. So come find us on Instagram. Everyone's favorite new cool social media. It's not that new. It's not that cool. But you can find us. Our company name is Maximalist Productions, or Maximalist Production. It's MAXIMALISTE, because we are Quebecois. And I answer people's sex ed questions. I'm really excited. We're about to start this series of, like, allyship ahas, where we're going to start chatting with folks from various communities and being like, hey, what are your things? What is important to you around allyship? And how do you want to be allied to?
Okay.
In order to use our platform to do more. And I can't wait. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a lot of boomerangs and me being stupid and, like, weird clown jokes. Like, it's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
And so Maximalist, just a quick parenthèse before we move on. Maximalist, that's the production company that you started for the show specifically, or did it already exist before?
It is a new production company for the show. It did exist as my, like, costume name for a while, but it is actually, we made it for the show, and it's a new production company for the show that we both came from other experience. This is, like, our first project as this company and working together, and it's really our first and second project, I guess. But yeah, it's for this show, and it's all about the fact that, you know, I'm a maximalist in many, many senses of the word, and it's great.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I wish you all the best.
Thank you so
Once
much
the
for
show
having
arrives,
us.
Tell me, and I'll remind people who are listening about your show, and I'll make sure to attend and put it in my calendar, because I can't believe I missed the first one. Well, the first show, the first edition. Happens. I'll make sure to be at the second one, though.
Perfect.
I feel like I'll still learn some new stuff, like the spandex finger thing, gloves. I had no idea you could do. I didn't know that was a thing.
Not
I'm sure
spandex.
You could, but
don't use spandex.
Oh, no, it's not spandex.
Use polyurethane and or latex.
Don't latex use spandex.
Like, you can wash them, but, like, not gonna help.
I'm
with
very
STIs.
Tired. I am so sorry, everyone. It's my IUD. Yes, latex gloves.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I hope I'm not the only one who's just spandex. Learning. It made sense in my
just, like,
spandex
put on,
latex.
Put on your morph suit and just, like, hang out, because it's, like, 2012 and everyone has a morph suit.
Actually, I think my brother has one. Now to think of it, you're like, everybody has one. I'm like, I feel like maybe two people out of three have.
It's like just still hanging around, because what are you gonna do? Get rid of them? Like, after
no,
you,
well, yeah,
like,
and it was so fashion out
and like get it out, but, like, you know, who knows?
All right, everyone. So that was it for tonight. On that note, I want to wish you a very lovely week. Please come back next week. We're gonna have a different guest. It's gonna be as awesome as tonight. I'm not gonna say it now because I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you know. You tune in next week and you'll see what we chat about. And if you like it, you stay tuned. And if you don't, then you come back in an hour. On that note, if you listened to the show tonight and you were very interested in what we were saying and you had an opinion of your own about sex that you would like to share with me and everyone else, then make sure to send me an email and I would love to have you on the show. We talk about anything. Last week, I was just having a casual sex talk about masturbation with one of my guests. It's very, I don't care. We can talk about anything. We can talk about something specific. We can just have a little girls, boys chat. I don't care. It's fun. Everyone loves to talk about sex. It's amazing. And that's that. So on that note, have a wonderful week, everyone. Be safe. I hope warm weathers are coming our way. I'm not completely sure. I didn't check the temperature. It's